Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Look out. It's only films to be buried with.
Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a new dawn, and I love film. As Bill Murray in Ghostbusters 2 once said, Happy New Year! Every week I invite a special guest over, I tell them they've died, then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Barry Jenkins, Sharon Stone, Kevin Smith, and even Brett Sandals. But this week, it's the brilliant writer, actor, comedian, and ghost, Danielle Pinnock. Big announcement! I'll be doing a huge live, Films to be Buried With, at the South Bank Centre on Saturday the 12th of February. Come along, bring a date, it's going to be a big one. Tickets are going fast. They are available at southbankcentre.co.uk and plosive.co.uk. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get an extra 20 minutes with Danielle. We go deep. We talk about beginnings and endings. You get a secret. You get the whole episode uncut, ad-free, and as a video. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. Ted Lasso Season 2 is available now on Apple TV Plus, as is Season 1, as is Soulmates on Amazon Prime, as is Super Bob on Amazon Prime in most countries. Watch all of it. Have a nice time with your life. So, Danielle Pinnock is a hilarious and brilliant actor. You can see her on Ghosts on TV. It's a remake of the BBC's Ghosts. We'd never met before. We recorded this over Zoom just before Christmas, and man, was she funny. I think you're going to love this one. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 180 of Films to be Buried With. Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is I, Brett Goldstein, and I'm joined today by an actor, a sketch comedian, a Instagrammer, an award winner, a spent a lot of time in England, I would like to hear about that, a hero, a ghost, a black lady sketch shower, a young Sheldoner, a Big Bang theorist, and a superstar, award winner, genius, legend, and extraordinary human. Please welcome to the show, it's the wonderful, the only, the amazing, it's Danielle Pinnock!
That was the best intro, hands down, I've ever had in my life. Shout out to you, Brett.
Hey, shout out to you, Danielle. Thank you so much for doing this. We're recording this, I don't know, 3 days before Christmas? 4 days?
Yes.
Is Christmas still happening? Are we allowed it?
No. Omicron came in like a full Power Ranger. I'm shook. Not a clue.
Well, this is a Christmas treat for me. I'm a big fan of yours. You are currently about to finish Ghosts season
yes,
one.
We're about to finish.
Ghosts has been a smash hit. Is that correct?
It has been. It has been. And honestly, grateful to the UK version because we would not be here without y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is such a magical experience. Honestly, going to work feels like comedy Olympics. Everybody's just hilarious. And to play this crazy ghost, Alberta, she is truly a hot mess with a heart of gold. She's a jazz singer from the Prohibition era. So I'm in fresh velvet all day, every day. It is fabulous.
That's so great. It looks like there's so many of you. It looks like it's a lot of fun. Like, how much waiting around is there, and how much is it just you guys fucking about?
I mean, 90% us fucking about, without question. Like, 90% just doing what we want, improvising.
Ah, it is great.
It is so much fun. Like, we are having the time of our lives, truly.
How many of the ghosts did you know before you were casting ghosts?
None of them, actually.
Oh, really?
I didn't know, but we all kind of have these 3 degrees of, right, you know, separation, where it's like, oh, I did Second City. I did Second City. I was in Chicago. You were in Chicago. So there was a lot of that. But honestly, it's all love on set, which I love.
Yeah.
But these people, I am like constantly breaking character. All of us. Like, it's insane.
That's great.
It's insane. We're having so much fun. It's so dope.
How much on average would you say the improv that you've done is in the finished product, like percentage wise?
Listen, it varies, because sometimes the showrunners, Joe Porter and Joe Wiseman, are like, nope, word is bond, we go over what we wrote. But sometimes you'll see a couple scenes where you're like, oh, this whole ending is improvised. So, you know, sometimes they surprise us a little bit.
That's
but
good. Also, you put a lot of spoilers in that last story. You went to Second City. You're from Chicago.
Well, originally from Jersey, but went to Second City to do some ladder of my training. Yeah, I'm a Jersey girl through and through. Turnpike mess. That's me. That's me.
Turnpike mess. I've never heard before, but I love it, and it will now be part of my daily vocabulary.
I love it.
How long were you doing Second City? How was that? I mean, that's like the dream place, right?
I mean, first of all, Chicago was, honestly, it felt like a postgraduate school, because I went to grad school overseas in England, in Birmingham, which was an experience.
Yeah, we need to talk. Okay, let's talk about that first. Let's talk about you going to Birmingham. Now, I'm from England. If you're listening in, you're from England. Listen, with all due respect, I don't know that Birmingham is the destination of...
Listen, my first day off the flight, I was like, yes, cobblestones, yes, pines. And then there was a full-on knife fight in front of my room and board. And I was like, okay, we're in the ghetto. Okay, yeah. I know this. I know this very well. I know the hood. I get it. And the thing that had me laughing so much, Brett, is my mom, my whole family's Caribbean. So it's like, my mom grew up like in the thrust of Kingston, Jamaica, so nothing scares her. She's like 5'1" and had the nerve to try to get in the middle of this knife fight.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, God loves everybody. And I was like, bitch, are you crazy? You about to die on my first day of school. It was a mess.
Oh my God. Tell me, can you do a Birmingham accent?
No, not even close. Mm. Not even close. I wish I could. I really do, because it's very, very specific.
It's very specific. You know what I've found? You tell me as an American. Americans, and I say this with love, don't seem to be able to tell the difference between any English accents. I could do a Birmingham accent and they'd still think it was the same. Is that right?
Literally. It's quite true. The thing is, I have a little bit of edge because I am Caribbean. So it's like, I have family that lived in London, mm-hmm. and I have, you know, a lot of, like, when all that stuff was happening in the 60s, 70s, some went to Canada, some went to Brooklyn, some went to London. So I was just like, okay, here are all the different variations. But a lot of Americans do not know the difference. That's facts. Those are facts.
Fascinating. Really fascinating. And so you've been in a lot of stuff. You've been around a while. You've certainly done the grind, and now you're on a hit show. How is your life different now, if I may ask? And how are you coping with it?
You know, the best thing is that I am out of student loan debt. That is the best thing that has come out of this. Yes, visibility. Yes, coins. Shout out to Sally Mae. Resting her to peace, gone and never truly forgotten. That bitch is rude. Okay. But I am out of debt. I am so grateful
this
show helping me. So that's like the biggest thing for me right now. I'm so hyped.
Hang on. We missed a bit. Second C. Hang on. We also missed. I mean, Birmingham, you arrived. There was a knife fight. In the end, what was your overall impression of Birmingham? Would recommend?
Listen, because also I kind of grew up in the hood. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I understand what this is. It's the hood with better accents. Like, so I was like, I get it. You know, down the street, there's a little Jamaican restaurant. I was like, okay, this is cute. Cool. I also met my husband there, who we've been together for like nearly a decade. He's from Coventry.
Amazing. And that's where I was at university, was in the Coventry area. Yeah.
Speaking of
lovely places to go in England. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, no, I had the time of my life. I loved it. Program was fantastic. It was a really, really strong program for acting randomly in the middle of Birmingham. They scouted all these Americans. We were like, what the F is going on? But I had the time of my life while I was there. And then moved right to Chicago, and that's where I ended up at Second City.
And how long were you at Second City?
About 2.5 years.
Oh, wow.
And it was part of a diversity program because they were like, we need more Black people here. So NBC has this program called the Bob Curry Fellowship.
Right.
And a lot of us were in that first class, second class, like Dwayne Perkins, who was doing a lot of writing on shows right now, Lisa Beasley, like... Ashley Nicole Black, she wasn't in that year, but she was around during that time when they started that program. And NBC fully funds all these all these people of color to take free classes and to perform. And that was ultimately what got me started in improv and what ultimately got me moving to Los Angeles. So I shout out to Second City. You know, shout out to them. Shout out to, you know, the showcase that got me to where I need to be. But I'm so thankful for all the comedians that I met while I was there, because Chicago is a very, very special place. I would say probably has some of the most talented performers in the world. So I'm lucky that I was like in the mix during that time.
It's where all the greats come out of. What was that the first time you went into comedy? Before that, had you been doing heavy drama shit?
Oh my God. When I tell you, Brett, I had this career for a very long time where I was just trying to be the next Anna Deavere Smith. I don't know where that came from, but I was like, I'm a serious theater actor. I want the Shakespeare's. I want the Greek tragedies. Mm-hmm. I want to go out into the field and I want to interview and I want to bring the stories to the stage. Like, that's how I met Desiree Birch. We were both.
Oh, Desiree.
Workshop. We were in an Anna Deavere Smith workshop in San Francisco. That was so intense and so incredible. Anna handpicked us. And I think after that workshop, I was like, I think I kind of want to go into comedy. This is kind of me. This is a little me.
Yeah.
But that's where my start was, documentary theater from the beginning, from when I was 18 years old. And I would like go out, interview people in my communities and do those stories on stage and like one person shows and all of that. And that's ultimately what led me to Second City. I had a show called Body Courage, which talked about like growing up Jamaican American with my crazy ass family and my amazing family, but what it was like being in private school and all white like school and all the differences and growing up extremely Christian and all this stuff. Oh, wow. But it was a show that ultimately brought me to LA and Second City founded. And so thankful for those roots, but I had to lay those roots to rest.
Yeah. I think most comedians do, like, you dream of going like, yeah, I should do a really heavy drama, it'd be really good. And then you think about actually making it and being like, oh, that'd be depressing. 6 months of that, I'd be fucking...
No, there's no way. Yeah. I can't do any Eugene O'Neill for 8 months. I'm done. I don't want to tour it. Don't take me to Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I'm good. I'm good, Brett. I don't want it. Keep it.
Yeah.
Keep
it. You can have it. Fascinating. Oh, shit. Danielle. Oh, no. Oh, fuck. No, I've forgotten to tell you something.
What?
Oh, shit. Oh, I made a note of it, but I turned the page over when... So I didn't see it. And I'm like going back over this page. I was like, what was I meant to tell her? And I've just seen it. And I'm like, oh, no, that's quite heavy. I probably should have said this up front.
Ready?
Yeah, I'll just say it. We'll I guess we'll deal with it afterwards. I'll just say it. You died. You're dead. Dead.
Mm.
You're dead. 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 You're dead.
Mm.
Dead.
Who's singing Amazing Grace?
Your choice. You get to choose.
Prince.
Okay, Prince is singing Amazing Grace. Nice choice. I feel like it will be the longest version of Amazing Grace ever done.
Wait, We need the guitar solo. It
will
first.
Have, yeah, it will have a 25-minute guitar solo. It will be the solo will be so long that at some point people will forget what the song is. They'll be like, "What were we doing?" Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Danielle's died. Sorry, we did Amazing Grace. How did you die?
Without question, shark attack.
Shark attack.
Without question.
No,
I know it's coming. I'm in the water all the time. I'm a water baby through and through.
Me too. I love it. Tell me.
It's going to happen.
You're a water baby. You spent too much time in the water. You got cocky. The sharks were like, I think she's going to be sticking around for a while. And then...
Yeah, let's have some jerk chicken. Boom, snatch, gone.
Where were you? In which ocean were you?
I would have to say probably Malibu.
Okay, you're in Malibu. You're swimming about. Is it day or night?
It's July night, so the water is still warm.
Okay, lovely. So in the warm water, are you with people or on your own, just having a swim?
I could be on a little boat with family.
Oh, you're on a boat. Yeah, wow, and they have to watch this. So is there any warning or the shark, is there any, like, do you hear music before the shark appears? Yeah. Or?
Oh, without question, it's definitely like Beanie Man. Like, it's like full on... It's full on reggae classics. We're not doing Jaws. We're gonna keep to the culture. It's gonna be Beanie Man without question. Maybe Sean Paul too.
Okay, so you hear Shani Paul and suddenly grabbed by a shark,
snapped
and bitten in two. Or how long does it take?
I think it takes a bit of a time because wow. You know I'm a big girl, so it's gonna take a minute. It's not gonna be a one and done.
Right.
Right. It's gonna be a moment. You know they gotta kind of. Oh, what's this? Oh, Chicho's. Okay, cool. Hey, okay. Yeah, it's gonna be a minute. It's literally going to be at any kind of buffet, Old Country Buffet. They're going to enjoy it, perfectly seasoned.
I like that the sound you make getting attacked by a shark. Let's not soft soap this. It's a shark that's attacking you. You make the same noise you might make if a great... pumped air up your skirt. Hey!
Hey! Oh, hey, friend! Oh, no! Gone. That's it. Wiped out. Shark attack. That's it.
So it's quite a slow death. It takes a while. A lot of chewing. Great pain. And I mean, it's not an idea. And your family are just watching.
Yeah, they're like, oh, my God. And nobody in my family can swim. So they really can't save me. Like, my mom is just going to sit there watching. Shook.
And screaming, or are they just...
Screaming, probably praying. Like, okay. That's going to do anything at that point. But, yeah. You know, they could try. But, gone.
Okay, so a lot of screaming and praying. And are you, as it takes its time, are you shouting, like, I leave everything to you? Or, you know,
I think the
some
thing
message.
That I'm going to shout is...
Shark.
My retirement fund is under New York Life.
Okay. Well, now everyone listening to this also knows that.
That's it.
That's wonderful. So you've been eaten quite slowly by a shark. One shark, or were there more than one? Was it a feeding frenzy?
I think it's two. I think it's like a set of twins.
So one of them's picking you up, chucking you in the air. The other one's catching you.
Yeah. Oof.
Do you worry about death?
Every single day.
Cheers.
Every single day. Every, like, literally, we got this Power Ranger variant that just popped in. I was like, yup, this is it. Will and Testament, let's do it. I think my biggest fear with death is not preparing my family. Because I think a lot of times with Black families, specifically Caribbean families, in my family specifically, it'd be last minute stuff happening. And it's like, oh God, we gotta get a coffin. Yo! And you're like, wait, where's the saving? And then it's like, oh, I think grandma kept money underneath her mattress. What? And then you're looking through shoes. And then it's like, family are coming to the house to see who could take the jewelry. Who could take the comb and the perfume? And you're like, but yo, we have to plan. We have to plan. It's a mess. Mm. It's a mess. And I think the planning is the thing that stresses me the most out about death, but also just the dying. Like, what is it about to be? Like, am I about to close my eyes and then all of a sudden I see Harriet Tubman. Like, what is it really about to be?
Well, what do you think? What have you come up with? Is it Harriet at the door?
I hope not, because I'm afraid of her.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really afraid of Harriet Tubman. Like, that's a boss-ass bitch that led all these people to freedom. Like, I don't want her to be the first person I see. Like, if we had a death dinner, like, I would like her to be at my table. But I don't know if that's the first person I see. Maybe, what? Like, Luther Vandross.
That would be lovely. He'd welcome you in with a little dance. I feel like, he'd usher you across the threshold quite nicely with a little, like, waltz maneuver. Do you know what I mean? But then,
absolutely.
What is it you think? Do you think Harriet Tubman's going to tell you off? Is that your fear?
She's so disappointed in me.
Right.
With that, like, I just was stressed out trying to bring some ShopRite groceries up the stairs. She's going to curse me out. She's like, are you serious? You're really stressed off of that when I brought slaves across the finish line? Yo, she may curse me out for having a white husband. You know what I mean?
They're things
that I know that Harriet is going to come for me, and I'm prepared for it. I just don't want her to be the first person I see.
You want to be eased in a little bit. You want to, like, couple of practice rounds. Luther, you want to Prince. Settle in. Luther, Prince, and then...
Maya Angelou.
Well... Look, I think Maya Angelou's the end, the last person, because I think Harriet's going to be mean to you, and then Maya will make you feel better.
I mean, we hope, yeah.
Maya will be like, Maya will probably say to you, yes, Harriet's right, however, I forgive you. Harriet, don't get me wrong, says Maya. Harriet made a series of very good points.
Are you prepared? Are you going to do the Maya voice? Because if you're going to do Maya, you got to do this. This is Maya bringing you in, right?
Hello, Brett. How are you? Welcome to the other place. How are you, Brett?
Thank you, Maya. I just wanted to check in. I'm currently playing Danielle Pinnock in this act out. And Maya, I just met Harriet Tubman, and she was so mean. She was so mean to me. She was angry about my husband. She was angry about the way I do shopping. She was angry about my capitalist attitude. And she said I was lazy, and I think I worked very hard, but she said I was lazy. What do I do, Maya? I want her to like me.
Tell her she's a phenomenal woman living phenomenally, and sorry about the sharks.
That's it. Maya, without question.
Maya's got to be at the end. She's got to be at the end, because whatever happens, Maya's going to make it okay. Now, one other question about Harriet Tubman. You said you want her on your table. At death dinner.
Yeah.
Where do you want her, though? Are you putting her next to you? Or are you putting her, like...
No, there's absolutely no way that Harriet Tubman can be next to me.
Where is she? Like, she's head of the table, right? How big is the table?
Like, I'm kind of like, I'm next to maybe Abraham Lincoln, so I can curse him out. And then we can have that kind of thing between us.
Okay. So, well, what you're saying is Harriet's having a go at you, and you throw Abraham Lincoln under the bus. You go, me? What about him?
Yeah, we can kind of tag team on aid.
You're like, he said he did a thing, and then nothing happened for years. And Harriet will be like, yeah, I hear you, but you also complained about the shopping.
And then I'm just going to apologize and cry at her feet. What else is there to do when Harriet is cursing you out? There's nothing else to do.
This is why I think, as much as it's going to be a difficult dinner, you might want Harriet next to you rather than at the end of the table, because she's going to shout across the table at you, thereby bringing more attention to your crimes. Whereas if she's next to you, you can try and keep it quiet. Take it, but quiet. You know what I mean? Like, Harriet, keep your voice down. I hear what you're saying. Actually, don't say that. Jesus, don't say keep your voice down to Harriet Tubman.
No, there's no way. There's no way. Because then the like spirit of Oprah, who's still living, will then snatch my soul. And then I'm going to the next place. See, I need to stay in the dinner. I need to stay at the dinner.
Yeah, you need to survive the dinner. I wonder if we can add anyone else to the table to help you out. Because I admit, Harriet's not going to be happy.
Whitney Houston can sing us down. Whitney can sing us down.
So you have Harriet on this side, Whitney on the other. When Harriet's getting too much, you nudge Whitney. Whitney bursts into songs, things about the greatest love of all. And when she's singing Greatest Love of All, and it's about the love I found in me, you start switching it to Harriet, and you start pointing at Harriet, and you go, no, the greatest love of all is the love I have for you, Harriet. That's the greatest love of all. because of everything you did. It's all about you, Harriet. And Harriet's like, okay, I like hearing this, okay. And she starts, you know, that's all she... Look, we've always said it. All Harriet Tubman wants is to be told she did a good job, right?
Yeah, without question.
She's like anyone. She just wants to be loved, all right?
Period.
And she's built that's up it. this attitude of being mean to you because she hasn't felt... acknowledged enough. And so if you sit with Harriet and say, look, Harriet, I know I messed up, but I love you and you're amazing.
Yeah.
And what you did is amazing. And I worship you. I think she might calm down a bit.
You know, we're going to pray on it.
Yeah. If I know Harriet and I don't.
Yeah, did she guest star on Ted Lasso? I can't remember. I missed that episode.
She's in the upcoming season 3. Spoiler!
Flashback! Come on!
Ted's origin story. You knew Harriet Tubman?
Yo, I'm going to be haunted tonight. I can't. But that's how I would die. That's how I would die. And those are the people I would want at my death dinner.
And so you think there's a heaven with dinners and Harriet Tubman at the door and stuff?
I don't know what it is.
Right.
You know, I think that's the thing. Like, I grew up in a very interesting religious situation in the fact that I was at church all weekend. My mom and my grandmother were two different kinds of Christian. So there's this one part of Christianity, like this denomination of Christianity called Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay.
So it's basically Christians that still follow Jewish principles. And most of the people in that denomination are Caribbean people. Fridays, Saturdays, lights out. We were vegetarian.
Oh, wow.
Like sun up, sundown, like all of that stuff. And then my mom was a Sunday, you know, Pentecostal, that kind of Christian. So like I was in church, like with my grandmother on Friday and Saturdays, and then with my mom on Sundays. And like when I was in college.
Sorry, was your mom not your grandma's daughter?
Yes. And we all were in the same house together. I was raised by both.
So how did they end up different types of Christians?
Because my mom literally, her plot in life is to rebel against my grandmother.
Nice.
Literally. That's just like her main plot.
Agenda.
So she was like, oh, you want to be doing this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
L'chaim, I'm going to be doing this.
You make a Sunday a special day. Well, guess what? I'm moving it.
Yeah. So then I was like in church all weekend because of that.
Oh, shit.
So, like, I think when I was in college, I was like, I need to take a break from church. I'm like, I'm exhausted. Like, I didn't know really truly what to believe. And I think I do believe in God. I just don't believe in all of the things that were happening. Because if I do believe in all the things in the Bible, like, I would just be out here getting stoned for free.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it's just too much going on. The Bible is like Real Housewives of the Disciples. And it's just so much going on in there. But I do believe in spirituality. I do believe that, you know, we'll all end up somewhere, hopefully. But my dream is that the first thing is like a dinner, like a gala. That's my dream.
You really need to pitch the Real Housewives of the Disciples, because that is going to be huge. And I almost feel like we should edit this bit out so no one hears it. So you can probably pitch that. I would buy that show.
Yes, I'll work on it.
Okay.
I'll work on it, Brent.
Bought in the room. Bought in the room. No pitch document. No proof of anything on the concept.
On a napkin. Shout out Lena Dunham. Done it on a napkin.
Here we go. So, well, I've got news for you. There is a heaven, and it is great. And Harriet Tubman is at the door, I'm afraid. But I've had a word with her, and I've said, look, give her a chance. I know she's on your hit list, but give her a chance, right? I said, look, she's done some things. She's made a lot of people happy, to be fair. You know what I mean? She was like, oh, I don't know. And I said, just watch her showreel. And I put on your showreel, and she was like, Harriet Tubman started laughing, like quite angrily laughing, like, oh, no, she got me. You know what I mean? Anyway, you come in, everyone's delighted to see you. Even Harriet, by this point, I've converted her. She's a massive fan. And
love.
Luther, Prince, Whitney, the spirit of Oprah that's not dead yet. They all want to know about your life. Oh, but it's filled with your favorite thing, by the way, Heaven. What's your favorite thing?
Oh, my God.
Is it water?
Water without question. Beaches. That's my favorite thing in the world.
All right. Well, Heaven is a beach.
Love.
It's a beach. And the seats are water seats, like the sort of seats that King Triton sat on in Little Mermaid. You know what I mean? Just a sort of wave that keeps going. You're sat on it like that. And there's screenings. It's all great. Anyway, everyone wants to talk about Whitney, Luther, Prince, all of them, even Abe Lincoln. They want to talk about your life, but they want to talk about your life through film. And the first thing they ask is, what is the first film you remember seeing, Danielle Pinnock?
First Wives Club.
That's the first film you saw, the First Wives Club.
It was the first film that I saw because my grandmother didn't have TV in the house. So I had a lot of catching up to do later in my adulthood. Like, I kind of low-key felt like I grew up slightly Mormon.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my first film with my mom, when she was going through her divorce from my dad, she was like on this, like, I'm going to see these badass films with these badass women. And it was First Wives Club in the theaters. I'll never forget it. Wow. And during like any scene with cussing, she would like put her hands over my ears. I was like, this movie is dope. Yes. Shout out to all of these women. Love them. Yes. Bette Midler, you're getting it.
How old were you?
Oh God. When did First Wives Club come out? Like 96?
96, yeah, something like that.
96, 8. So I was born in 88. 9, I don't know. Yeah, eight. 6, 7, 8. Yeah. Boom, and come on, mathematics.
Are you an only child? Or were you with?
I grew up as an only child. I do have a half sister, but I grew up as an only child until I was like 21.
So it was just you and your mom at the cinema. And this was in Jersey?
This was in Jersey.
Turnpike Mets. Ah. That's so nice. And so you liked the women in it. Well, also, if you'd never seen a fucking TV, were you like, what is happening?
No, literally, like, my brain exploded. I was like,
these people are so big.
Like, no, and I'm like, there's nothing of popcorn. Like, honestly, it just felt like the Amish on a Rum Springer. Like, I was like, what the hell is happening? It was fantastic. And then we just kept on going to films. Saw Stella Got a Groove Back and Waiting to Exhale and all these things. And I had the Disney classics where I was like, like, it was fantastic.
It was fantastic. Really nice. I like that a lot. What is the film that made you cry the most? Are you a crier? Do you cry?
Not usually. Mm. Not usually. But
why?
The film that, why am I not a crier?
Why won't you cry, Danielle?
Well, you know, I grew up in a family of very strong women. Like, I didn't see my grandmother cry until she was like 71.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
And I've grown up with her my whole life. And my mom, I think she cried once, and that was at my dad's funeral. I haven't seen her cry since.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So then I just kind of grew up in that family where it's like,
yeah,
we don't really express emotions. How we express emotions is by cooking and dancing and like giving hugs and family functions.
Oh, but like,
we weren't really like, it wasn't until I met my husband, who is a full on, his sign that he's a Cancer. Yeah. Jesus Christ. And that's when I was like, oh, wow, maybe I should be emoting.
I don't know. Your way of like, instead of having emotions, you dance and cook and have fun.
Yeah.
Sounds so much better than sitting around crying all day. I think you've got it right.
Literally.
I would say don't get into the crying.
No, but I do have to tell you.
Oh, go on. Tell me.
The film that got me.
Mm-hmm.
Junior year of high school, we saw Life is Beautiful.
Oh.
Still to this day, the film that it just takes me out.
Yeah.
It was probably one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen in my life. Extraordinarily heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I was in there bawling like I lost my firstborn child as a junior in high school. And I was like, what, in the middle of like biology class, and my teachers were like, yo, are you all right? Like, what's going on? I'm like, I need a minute. And the whole thing is subtitled, and I'm like, are y'all not seeing what I'm seeing?
Like, are you not reading it?
Yo, I was like, do you need to borrow my glasses? Like, y'all, this is the moment. Love. love that film. It's so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good though.
It's really fantastic. Good. Okay, I like that answer. I like that film. I like that film very much. I haven't seen it in years, but loved it. I'm sure it holds up. Does it hold up? Have you ever seen it again?
Yes, it still to this day.
Right.
Still.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Still to this day.
What about being scared? What's the film that scared you the most? Do you like being scared?
Hated. Terrifying. Hated. There's two films, actually.
Okay.
The first one was... this is so stupid. The first one was Precious because it wasn't The Ring, it wasn't Paranormal Activity. Precious scared the shit out of me because I was like, yo, is this what happens if you keep being fat? Like, what the fuck? Is this what I have to look forward to? Like a box of chicken in the middle of the hood? Like, what is this movie? Yo, that movie scared the shit out of me. And Monique, shout out to Monique. You gave a phenomenal performance.
So good.
That I will never forget. Absolutely terrifying. Mariah Carey with that goddamn mustache. And social services, like, it really took me out, Brett. It took me out. Terrified.
The first time Precious has come up as the scariest film of all time. But I guess it's about time it did.
Frightening. It's like Lee Daniels, can you give us a break? Like, is this what I had to look forward to? This woman had, and this little bandana she had on the whole film, like, golly, Gabrielle Sidibe, shout out to her. She killed it. Terrified.
Really killed
still can't even watch it. Terrified. Without what? Terrified.
What was your other choice?
The other choice was The Jacksons and American Dream about Michael Jackson. And Sebastian was in it. I'm gonna tell you the scene that got me though,
okay.
Brett.
Okay.
It's the Pepsi Cola scene when he fell down all them steps and those fireworks caught him. I still to this day am afraid of fireworks because of that scene. Because I was like, wow, this man went from black to white in one scene and I don't know what happened. In my young mind, I didn't know nothing about no vitiligo. I just knew that the fireworks turned this man into a white man. And that for me was a horror show. How did Michael Jackson turn Caucasian off of Pepsi Cola fireworks? I'm good. I haven't had Pepsi since.
What happens? He gets hit in the face by fireworks from Pepsi.
No, he's doing this dance down the steps and then falls down all the steps. And then literally all these fireworks from the show catch him on fire. His whole hair on fire because, you know, he had a perm.
I did not know this true story.
Oh my God, yes. And then they were like, that's when he went white. That's when he ended up like being light skinned. And I'm like, nah, I'm good. They said it was the fireworks, but then they were like, it's the vitiligo. And I see, you know what? Because y'all can't tell the difference, I don't want no shit with fireworks ever again. I still to this day, 4th of July, I'm a wreck. Terrified. I'm like, can you imagine like one day walking out and then 4th of July, boom, a little bit of firework comes on you. And then next thing you know, I turn up looking like Kathy fucking Bates. Like, are you kidding me right now? Like, I'm terrified.
Shit.
Man. I'm terrified.
Yeah. You got to stay indoors. It's not safe out there, 4th of July.
It's not safe out here. No, stay indoors. That's it.
What? I mean, fantastic answers. What is the film that people don't like? People don't like it. It's not critically acclaimed, but you love it. You don't care what anyone says.
Along Came Polly.
Great answer.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. Ben Stiller.
Jen Aniston.
Honestly, Kevin Hart. He was the little man with the thing. Loved that film. I love that film so much.
Could you please just describe Kevin Hart in that film again?
He had the boom mic. Shout out to Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Listen, all start somewhere. We all start holding a boom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone
listen,
has.
Shout out to him because he killed it and he was giving tactics even with that little boom he had on. Okay. No, that. Yo, Philip, to be honest, and I hate saying this because I know Philip Seymour Hoffman was in so many other films. Mm-hmm. For me, it was Along Came Polly because that man is an absolute legend.
Yeah.
Absolute legendary.
Yeah.
The way he squeezed that pizza off the thing and then ate it, the way he was in that damn basketball gym with those men, the way he was in the office room, it's kind of like the comedic choices that he made just inspire me beyond. Love the movie. Love it.
That's really good. He really could do it all, couldn't he?
Truly.
What's a film that you used to love? You loved it. You've seen it recently. You don't love it anymore.
Titanic.
Go on. You'd be amazed, Danielle, how often Titanic comes up on this show. It amazes me. It's on a lot of people's lists. Talk to me.
Titanic, she tried it because she knew there was some space on that driftwood at the end. There was space.
Yeah, there was.
And I don't know who that goes to, whether it's props, if they made the error. You know, they should have cut that driftwood a little bit more so then as an audience member, we'd be like, damn, there really is no space. There was space on the driftwood and all she had to do was climb his ass up.
Yeah.
Save his life. That's it.
Do you know what I think? I've just thought this for the first time. You ever seen Dirty Dancing? You seen Dirty Dancing? So Dirty Dancing, at the end of it, one of the reasons I think it's very moving is we know they're not going to be together beyond this summer. He's the fucking... She's a posh girl. She's not going to hang out with Johnny English, whatever his name is, after the summer. And I think what happens with Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio is like, they've had a lovely summer holiday on the Titanic. She's not going to marry him in the real world. She's a posh girl. So she's like, how am I going to... This is saving me an awkward conversation at the airport when we get there. You know, when we get to land, he's going to be like, so where do we go? To your fancy penthouse? And she's going to go, actually, you're not really going to fit in around here. I'm posh. I don't like people like you. So she just lets him... She goes, there's not enough room on the old door.
And see, I can't respect that. Because at least tell me while I'm drowning, yo, low key, we're never going to work, but I'm going to help you up. And then we'll both live and then you could go about your way. But she killed the man. That's homicide.
She killed a man to avoid an awkward conversation in a few weeks' time, which I don't... I mean, putting it now, I say it like that, I kind of respect that because she doesn't want to break his heart. She doesn't want to break his heart when they get to wherever they're going.
It's toxic.
Yeah.
And
she's not a great guy.
You know how there's fuck boys? She's a fuck girl for that because at least just let the man stay on the driftwood. That's it. That y'all went through all these things together.
Yeah.
Francis Fisher cursed you out and then y'all downstairs wading through the water like Sojourner Truth and you can't let the man come on the driftwood? No.
Yeah. Maybe it also just says about their upbringings, I suppose. If you're a posh girl, you probably don't... She probably thinks, it'll be all right. Because Do you know what I mean? It might not have even crossed her mind to put him on the outdoor. Maybe she did like him, yeah. But she's like, he'll be all right. He's a little rapscallion. He'll be fine.
And the rapscallion gone. Kill him with Nemo.
Yeah, fuck. Chilling with all of Nemo's family. Oh, dear.
Chilling with Nemo's family. Oh. That's it.
Well, good point. Danielle Pinnock, what is the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is any good, but because the experience you had around seeing the film will always make it special to you. Danielle Pinnock.
God. Probably Annie, the original. Bernadette Peters.
Yes.
Annie, all of that. I think I saw that with my cousins, and still to this day, that movie holds up for me. I mean, those actors were giving their lives. Carol Burnett. I mean, it's just kind of like, of course, it's like a little white girl with this little red hair. Mm-hmm. People already discriminate against redheads. So she's basically, redheads are like the black people for white people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, cool. I respect her.
Yeah.
She's rough around the edges, in the hood, in the orphanage, and then gets the opportunity to be in this rich man's house. Yeah, I root for her. Yeah. I root for her. And then she could sing on top of that.
Yeah, she's earned her place because she can sing. She can sing.
Annie, without question.
I love Annie. I've always loved Annie. And it's in my list of films that didn't get good reviews that blow my mind. I'm like, who watches Annie and goes, this isn't very good? How?
We got to test those reviewers and tell them if they can do the choreography, mm-hmm. then they can get a bad review.
Yeah.
Because that choreography is unmatched still to this day.
Albert Finney? Mwah.
Like chef's kid, like truly.
So good.
Daddy Warbucks.
Daddy Warbucks. And listen, you play Daddy Warbucks wrong. That's a very creepy character. You put one foot wrong with Daddy Warbucks. What? This fucking skinhead guy that's like bringing in a kid to his rich house and makes you call him Daddy Warbucks? Like, you play that any one little degree wrong. That film is very disturbing.
Facts.
What's the film you most relate to, Danielle Pinnock?
There was an indie film back in the day called Camp about these little kids in theater camp. And it was fantastic. And I think that film for sure, because I saw it at the time when I was a teenager and I was also in the theater camp at that time. And I love that film so much.
Mm.
It's like my whole high school experience, just being kind of awkward and, you know, finding the thing that gives you a place in this world and in society,
yeah.
Where all your awkwardness is just respected and highlighted in such a beautiful way. I love Camp. Loved it.
I was going to ask you, when you got to like Second City, is it the sort of place that's like breaks you down, then builds you up? Or was it like...
The thing is, I had been playing... I've been classically trained for years before Second City. So I was broken down before when I got there.
You were a wreck when you got there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like literally coming in Judi Dench, like, okay, I'm ready. Like, you know, hello, general. Like, I just literally, I think that's the thing. Like when you're, theater is a cult. You know, I don't know how people... You know, there's no other way to say it. Like it is very culty where it's like, you get in, it's a pyramid scheme. You got to do this and then you're going to get this and then you're going to do this. And then it's like, you can come out with all these degrees and still have zero confidence in yourself at all. Because somebody was like, you're too big to play this role. You're too brown to do this thing. You need to be the slave. You need to be the maid. So I've been hearing that for so long. When I got to Second City, I was like, what y'all got going on? What's happening? I'm ready. I'm ready. And because I've been doing like my own solo performances, there was nothing that anybody could tell me that I hadn't already heard, A, in my own family, because I come from a harsh family of critics. And they do it with love. But like, there was nothing that anybody could tell me that would not allow me to pursue my dream. There's nothing. I've heard it all. I'll be like, okay, cool. And moving on. Yes, and. Cool. Moving on.
Yes. tell me this. Tell me this. What's the sexiest film you've ever seen, Danielle Pinnock?
How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
It's a sexy film.
That was
film.
A really sexy film. Angela Bassett, like,
hey,
unmatched.
Angela Bassett is unbelievable. One of the greatest actors ever. And also doesn't seem to age at all. Looks exactly as she did in 71. I don't know how old she is.
Literally, she's ageless.
She's ageless.
She looks phenomenal.
And she's fucking brilliant.
Stunning. Stunning. And masterclass performance. I mean, I stand that woman. I think she's just everything and more. And Stella got a groove back, definitely. There was like a shower scene where I'm like, ooh, this is cute. And then my mom was like, and I was like, I want to sing. What's happening? Oh my God. It's like, literally, that was me.
Really good choice. Really good choice. There's a subcategory to this question. Obviously, we're going to have to deal with it. I don't make the rules. I do. I sort of do. The subcategory is troubling boners, worrying wide-ons. Film you found arousing that you weren't sure you should, Danielle Pinnock. Doesn't get easier asking, but go on.
This is rough. This is getting rough. This is Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Okay. Without question, Lion King. Huge crush on Simba.
Are we talking about the specific moment in Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Or are we talking just general all the way through the film?
When Simba got grown,
yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, cool. What's happening here? The hair is flowing in a different direction. Mm. And then when my man went into the water and went like this, and had the Bo Derek moment, I was linked. I was hooked.
That's fair. I forget about that.
They're lying, but Disney knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the bit with Nala where they roll down a hill and then they're like, oh, and then he looks and then she looks and then they're like, ha ha, we've been having fun, ha ha. And then they look at each other.
Yeah, it's that moment when I was like, I get it, Nala. Get your man, sis. I get it. I get it.
I don't mind Nala either. You know what? If you and I went to a wedding together and Nala and Simba were there, I'd say, let's split up and make this happen.
Yeah, listen, I'm totally game. We'll see you at brunch in the morning. Tell me the tale. I need to know everything. Yeah, tell me the tale. See you at brunch. Good night. I have my overnight bed. All right. Yeah, that's it.
What's objectively the greatest film of all time? Might not be your favorite, but it is the high point of cinematic art.
Oh, God. Godfather? I love it. I love Godfather. I would say for me...
You can have it. I mean, we haven't had it for a while. I've tried to ban it because everyone says Godfather.
No, I'm gonna say the one for me because that's the thing that people always say. I've never seen the shit. Shout out to Godfather! Yeah, not sponsored by, never seen it. But I honestly, I have to say, Moonlight was
Now you're talking.
Moonlight was a moment in the theater. I told you I didn't start watching movies till 96.
You still don't know what a TV is. You're on TV and you don't know what it is. When you see yourself on a TV one day, you're gonna shit yourself. You'll be like, what is this mirror that is moving and I'm not moving?
I'm in the box.
Moonlight is one of the all-time greats. You can absolutely have that.
Without question.
What a magnificent film.
Ooh, a magnificent... Yo, I'm going to just say... Notes on a Scandal, the performances. Judi Dench. Yo! She kills it in this movie. And... it was so good. I know the subject matter is very dark, but literally that was my go-to movie. I'd be like, oh, let me go learn. Let me see what Judy's about to do. Loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Okay. You can have that, but we're having Moonlight because that's the greatest.
Moonlight without question.
Yeah.
But also adding Notes on a Scandal.
We're going shout out to Notes on a Scandal, but
hey Judy, what's good?
Yeah,
Moonlight always.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what's the Danielle Pinnock? What's the film that you could or have watched the most over and over again?
Yo, I'm not gonna lie. I have seen Bridesmaids so many times. I've seen Bridesmaids. I remember seeing that in the theater with my very dear friend, Devon Joy Randolph. And we're like, oh, we're just going to see a film. Change our lives.
Yeah.
I had to get the DVD that day on bootleg.
That's all right. You had paid your money once at the cinema. That's fine. I think that's okay. I think I'd be okay with that. As long as you saw it in the cinema, I don't mind you doing
it. Saw it in the cinema twice. Yeah. And then got on bootleg. Surely did. And Melissa McCarthy, just absolute genius. All of those women, every single person in that cast. I mean, it was just seamless.
Why is she so funny, Melissa McCarthy? I have a theory. What's your theory?
I think because she's playing it for real. Mm. That's the thing. I think a lot of she's not trying to be funny. She's in a very not quite Arbu Jeremy Strong. But she's playing it for real. You know, she's not on that end.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to him because he's killing it. You know? But she's playing this for real. And I think that's what's so funny about it to me is like she's a genius. She's a genius.
Yeah.
Truly.
What's the thing she did on Saturday Night Live that I thought was amazing? What's his name? The terrible man who was Trump's, speech guy.
Baldwin.
No.
Alec Baldwin?
No, no, no. She played Trump's press guy that got...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I know exactly. I can't remember that.
Sean Spicer?
Spicer.
Yeah. When Melissa McCarthy played him, that's one of the funniest things ever. And I was like, why is she so fucking good? And I was like, I think it's because she's dangerous. It's because there's a certain madness to her that feels like what's the word? Like, there's no edges to it. Like she could, you feel like she could actually go in the audience and murder everyone. Like, there's
No, for real. You know what I mean? For real. Like, she's on the cusp.
Yeah, and that makes it really exciting because you're not safe. You're not safe. It's like chaos. There's fucking chaos happening when it's her. She's amazing. Anyway, what? Now, look, I don't like being too negative, Danielle. I don't know about you. So we'll do this fairly quickly. What's the worst film you've ever seen, Danielle Pinnock?
Hands down, Cool Runnings. Hands down.
Whoa.
Hands down. Worst film.
Let me speak for everyone listening. Whoa.
Cool Runnings. I'm Jamaican.
Explain.
It was a literal atrocity. The accent... are horrifying. Yo, the accents are so, it's like American people trying to do Mary Poppins and being like, oh, I'm Cookney. And you're like, the fuck is going on here? Yo, the accents are disastrous. I was like, I can't do it. Like, yes, oh my God, I love a good sports story. But I'm like, y'all, this ain't it. There's nobody in Jamaica doing this. And then, like, if you were Jamaican during that time, like, all these white kids used to be calling me bobsled because that was their movie. They're like, bobsled, we about to do ganja. And I'm like, we're really not, though, because I'm in a Christian household. All we're doing is reading Bibles and handing out Bible scriptures on Halloween. That's what we're doing. We're not smoking ganja. We're not going on no bobsled. My mom doesn't even know how to swim. We're not doing any of these things. Leave me alone. Hated it. Hated it.
That's a fair answer. How did you learn to swim? And why didn't you take your mom with you?
Oh, my dad just dropped me in the water.
Okay.
That's the thing. He's very, that's him.
It worked. Look, you fucking love the water.
Worked. And he was like, okay, she comes up, it's good. And I came up. When it's up, then it's stuck. That's it. It's stuck.
Okay, so you're in comedy. You're very funny. You're hilarious. What's the film that made you laugh the most, though, Danielle Pinnock?
Laugh the most? Mm. Friday.
Fucking love Friday.
Friday.
Love Friday.
No skips. I love that. I love Friday. I mean, just every single human being in that movie, from background to the leads, it just is, it hits every time for me.
No skips. Friday's great. Really good. All right. Danielle Pinnock, you have been phenomenal. No one's surprised. Everyone was expecting this and you delivered. However, when you were in the ocean in Malibu with your family, you'd invited your whole family. Everyone was on a boat. None of them can swim. You, in a way that seemed, I don't know, arrogant, you said, none of you can swim, but I can. And you dived into the sea and you were swimming about. But you'd also been like manning the boat. So they were sort of stuck just watching you. And you were like, look at me. And you were swimming around. And after about 2 hours of it, they were a bit bored and they were also like getting sunstroke. They wanted to head back in, but you were like, no, I'm a water baby. Watch me swim. Watch me swim. And suddenly one twin's shark grabbed you, tossed you in the air, started eating you, but really slowly. And you went, hey! You went, hey! And your family were watching and they were like, oh my God. And they were screaming, but none of them could swim because you had never offered to teach them to swim. And this has finally come back to haunt you. And the sharks, they're eating you and eating you. But it takes so long that your family almost get bored. Like it was exciting and scary and upsetting. But now it's like, oh, I mean, I wish they just... Because you're still going, hey! You keep saying, hey. They haven't taken your head off yet. And they're it's sort of eating you from the bottom up, you know what I mean? And... eventually, and as you say, my pension is in New York Trust or something.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, okay, cool, thank you. And then you go, hey, one last hey. And then the shark bit your head off.
And Tamara got me.
Got it. And then it went underwater and there was just blood floating up. Anyway, I was on a speedboat at the time, just pottering around Malibu, and I had a coffin in the back. You know, it was a lazy day. What am I going to do? And I see your family on the boat and they're waving. I go, hey, how's it going? I go, hey, you're Danielle's family. Where's Danielle? And they point to the water and there's just bits of bones and blood and a bit of flesh just floating around. And I go, she's got eaten by sharks, right? Because she swam too long. And they go, yeah. And I go, oh, man, I'm sorry. And they go, do you know what? It was shocking at the time, but it went on too long and we got bored. Okay, I'll tow you back in. So I tow them back in. They all go and get in the shade. And I order them some cocktails. They actually have a quite nice time. Come back out to get what I can of you. It's a mess. There's bits of you in seaweed, like all sorts. Anyway, I'd only brought this small coffin, but there's enough bits of you that I've put it in the coffin. And there's like a couple of like sort of coral. You've got a bit, your leg has got stuck on a bit of coral. So that's had to come in as well. There's a reef. There's a bit of reef in the coffin. Anyway, I've done what I can. I've put it all in the coffin. The coffin is absolutely rammed. There's really only enough room in that coffin for one DVD that I can slide into the side for you to take across to the other side. And on the other side, it's movie night every night. And one night, it's your movie night. What film are you taking to show everyone in heaven when it's your movie night, Danielle Pinnock?
Go.
Love and Basketball.
Oh, what a lovely choice.
Love and Basketball, without question. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. No skips.
No skips. That's a lovely choice, and I don't think it's been taken up there. You know what? Let me tell you something. Harriet Tubman, she keeps having chats with me. She's like, I don't know if I forgive her. And I was like, give her a chance. And I said, look, come to her movie night. We'll see what she picks. See if that makes any difference. You stand at the front of that cinema where we're all sat on waves like King Triton and you say, I would like to screen tonight Love and Basketball. And you know what? I looked across at Harriet. She started crying.
Yes. So all my sins are cleansed.
Yeah. Well done.
I love it. I love it. Well done. Shout out to you, Brett, for being Harriet on my side.
Yeah. Well, I did what I could. Danielle, you've been wonderful. Is there anything you would like to tell people to watch, to look out for, to listen to? I don't know what else you can do.
Yes, watch Ghosts on CBS Thursday nights at 9, and you can check all the season out so far on Paramount Plus. And follow me. I'm at Body Courage on all platforms. I'm here to make you laugh, so hit me up. I'm here.
I would very much recommend her Instagram. Funny shit happens on it. I'll say that. Well worth a look. Danielle, I appreciate you. Thank you for your time. I hope you have a lovely death and happy new year to you.
Happy new year.
Good night.
So that was episode 180. Head over to patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra 20 minutes of chat, secrets and videos with Danielle. Go to Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating. Don't talk about a podcast. I don't want to read that. I don't care about that. Talk about the film that means the most to you and why. That's a lovely thing to read. Everyone likes that. Helps numbers. It's really appreciated. Blah, blah, blah. Don't forget the live show, 12th of February. And, you know, just have a nice time. Have a lovely year. I hope you'll do everything you want to do and that you live in a way that makes you feel proud and happy and wanted, you know what I mean? Loved and taken care of, yeah? Okay, good luck out there, everyone. Thank you so much to Danielle for doing the show. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to Acast for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the photography. Come join me next week for another brilliant guest. So that is it for now. In the meantime, have a lovely year and please be excellent to each other.
Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you, Maureen.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant.
Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Oh, thanks, my name is Maureen. Yeah, thank you.